been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, the Live from Sarasota, last time for a while, edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Barry is on his way home. I'll be going home tomorrow morning. The Dow is up 172 right now to 37,925, but a little bit on edge these days, a little nervous. The Nasdaq's down 23 to 15,660. The S&P is up 4 points right now to 5,026. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Nasdaq and the S&P, their charts and how they look right now. In a bit, the Russell 2000 is flat. That's the small caps. Crude oil has really come back pretty hard. It's only up 28 cents today, and it's back to 82.97 as the stockpiles build. Gold is up 680 to 23.95. Silver, which is actually outperforming gold so far this year, is up 16 cents to 28.56. The 10-year is up 4 basis points. Here we go again, a rise in interest rates. And Bitcoin, which dipped under 60,000 for a while yesterday, is up 617 right now to $62,800 per coin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management, enjoying my last day in Sarasota. Hate to go home tomorrow morning, but I like my home too. This is a great place to visit. I think, you know, probably sometime late summer, August, somewhere in there, we'll be back. And I think I'm going to do a workshop next time I come back. I kind of miss doing that, teaching a class and going over the market. So that's probably will be our next visit to Sarasota. In the meantime, we're planning our Minnesota trip to Minneapolis to the Mall of America. That will be May 20, 21, 22, somewhere in that area. That week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can start reserving a spot. I guarantee those spots will fill up just as they did here in Sarasota. And to reserve a spot for Minnesota, we'll be at the Radisson Blue, you can call Edie, who's here with the team this week, doing a great job. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Okay, well, the market remains nervous for now. And yesterday, it really got nervous, okay? It's the S&P's left eye and the NASDAQ was starting to twitch. It was getting nervous. And then all of a sudden, the twitching started really going because of what Bank of America said. That's Merrill Lynch, about we might not get a rate cut until February or March of next year. Oh, and the market got really, really nervous yesterday. Not only that, there was a weaker than expected, I would say, booked orders. That's really where the weakness was for ASM Lithography, ASML. But I really don't see anything wrong with their report yesterday. And they didn't downgrade their earnings. They didn't really warn. It just happened to be that the orders that are booked on the books for the next couple of quarters were weaker than expected. And as a result, okay, the technical damage, the NASDAQ is still holding on to its support level, but it is below its 50-day moving average. Looking at the NASDAQ, the support level now, it's right around 15,500. That's just a couple hundred points from where we are now, and it wouldn't take much, you know, with all these tech stocks lined up to land, come in for a landing with their earnings reports in the coming next couple of weeks. Any big misses by any of these big tech stocks, such as a Google or a Microsoft, or obviously an NVIDIA or a Qualcomm, etc., and the NASDAQ could head down into that downtrend, correction trend, and it's vulnerable, cleared down to about 14,500, which would be 1,100 points below where it is now. The S&P 500 yesterday broke its support level, okay? So I've given this analogy many times. You've got a S&P that has been going up in a pretty tight uptrend since late October of last year. And in reality, you know, it really began in January of last year, but then you went through a pretty steep correction. The S&P, believe it or not, got clear down to 4,100. And then it finally took off the runway at 4,100 and finally hit almost 5,300. Okay, that's a 1,200-point move. That's about a 27% move in the S&P 500. Then it leveled off at 5,200 feet there, 52,000 feet, 5,254 is where it got. Then it started going sideways for about 4 or 5 weeks. That's what I call a topping trend. And then all of a sudden it started to roll over, and yesterday it had a terrible day, broke support level, and is now holding the 5,000 level, which I would say is the support level right now. If it were to break 5,000, it's vulnerable clear down to 4,700. So it could lose 300 points very easily, which would, what, be a 6% drop from here. And also, I would also say that while the market is correcting here, the forward PE of the S&P 500 has dropped below 20 for the first time in a long time, which pretty much goes right along with what I've been saying. The market needs to correct by about 8, 9, 10% to bring the PE ratio back in line where it should be, in around the 19 area. We're now at 19.93. We were hitting 22. Before this all began. So, you know, from a valuation point of view, the market needed to correct. From a technical point of view, with the market topping out there, it looked like it was getting ready to roll over into a correction. So, and yesterday I would say the correction accelerated a little bit on that news from, or on that forecast from Merrill Lynch about no rate cuts this year, maybe not until February or March of next year. Now, there's a difference between a correction, obviously, and a bear market, okay? A bear market is an absolute reversal of the bull trend, which has been taking place since 2009. That bull trend, I mean, that's the definition of a bull market, is an uptrend. And if you connect the dots from 2009 until today, and then you can connect all the years in between, you'll see an uptrend. That's a bull market. And now we're kind of turning the corner and pointing down, but I'm not predicting, I don't see at this point in time, a total reversal of the uptrend, the bull trend, into a bear market. And the reason why I say that is because of the favorable economy that we have right now. Now, we got the Beige Book yesterday. And it still shows, and of course the International Monetary Fund was talking about the U.S. economy. You know, it's not like screaming along, but we're still not seeing, you know, any weakness in the jobs market. I'm not seeing any weakness with the consumers out there spending. So that, to me, says, you know, we're not looking at a recession yet. If we were, the Fed would be cutting interest rates. But now they are going to keep rates higher for longer to try to get that inflation down under 3%. And they seemingly are not afraid that keeping rates higher is going to put us into a recession. So that's where we stand right now. I definitely would be more on defense. After a long, since January of last year, we've made some big gains. We have a lot of long-term capital gains, big long-term capital gains. And I definitely would be more on the defensive side. My defensive coordinator is pretty busy these days. That's the left side of my brain, I guess. The right side of my brain is offense. Try to make money while the getting is good. I'm definitely a little bit more leaning towards the defense right now. But I'm always looking every day for opportunities. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about where we're at in the market right now. And should you really be worried? How worried should we be? This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. After a day that the NASDAQ was down 182, mostly caused by, I think, ASM's news, which I didn't think was that bad. But those semiconductor stocks are definitely weakening here. You know, I told you that a while back that the software stocks looked horrible. They were going sideways and rolling over. I backed out of all my software stocks. And now it's spread, obviously, to the leading sector in the market has been the semiconductor sector. Obviously, with NVIDIA and ASML and AMD, etc. And it's now coming under pressure and maybe overdue. For a correction there also. So we take it a day at a time. We take it a stock at a time, but I definitely would be expecting more of a correction here. And the correction's probably half over already, just like that. You've got the Dow now down 5.4% from its peak. I said that we'll probably get about a 10% correction to get that P-E ratio back into the 19 area. And I think that the inflation numbers and the continued kind of backing off that 3 rate cuts this year, which Powell talked about a month ago, that really got the market excited. That seems to be dissipating now. And then the S&P 500 is down about 4.4% now from its peak. So if your portfolio is down 4 or 5% right now from the peak, well, the market is, that's market action. You can't do much about market action unless you sell everything, unless you figure out right where that peak is and sell everything. I watch support levels. I take one stock at a time. I take one day at a time. I already went through all my holdings here this morning. I did make two big sells yesterday, two big sells just to lighten my exposure to some areas of the market. And I did make one buy in an inverse fund yesterday to beef up my exposure there a little bit also. And you would see that in this week's newsletter. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And I will be sending out the newsletter on Saturday afternoon, East Coast time. And again, to get 2 free weeks, go to GundersonCapital.com. Well, you know, the Israel situation, I saw this morning, I didn't think that sounded right, that the U.S. had given an okay for the Rafah invasion down in southern Gaza to finish off Hamas, if Israel would just give a muted response to what happened there last Saturday, with that unprecedented attack by Iran. And now I see the U.S. is refuting that story and saying, no, we did no such thing. So anyways, I continue to follow that. The price of oil has been muted quite a bit. So I think the market has kind of digested that for now until whatever Israel's going to do, they do. And I also think that gold has also muted for now. The oil stocks do not look good at all. And I never bought any on the run-up, and now they're pulling back. And I don't think the demand is there. I don't think China has a tremendous problem with their housing market, which continues to collapse. And that's not helping the Chinese economy. And that's where a lot of that oil demand comes from. Okay, how many Fed speakers are speaking today? That is the key thing. It's not Greek bonds. It's not Italian interest rates. That was the big problem about the jobs market is going to be the key indicator going forward. The story I hear much more often than not is they can't find enough workers, okay? It's not that there's no jobs. They can't find jobs. They can't find workers to fill the jobs. And so that continues to power the U.S. economy. So I have to remain optimistic on the market based on earnings. Now it comes down to the multiple of the earnings, the growth of the earnings, whether they're that's the lowest we've seen oil. I believe to be true that the U.S. economy powers on for now. Now there will be a time we will have another recession. We will have another huge pullback. And we'll have another bear market at some point in time. But the U.S. economy continues to power on. Now, China's a little bit of a problem. We keep hearing kind of a mixed results coming out of China. And that would also help if China could start growing their economy. Tariffs are back in the news. Okay, they weren't very popular. It wasn't very popular, and President Trump took a lot of shots over the tariffs that he put on Chinese goods. Well, the Biden administration calls for tripling China tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. Why? Because China obviously has been dumping cheap materials onto the market, you know, which is destroys the price. They do it with solar panels. They do it with aluminum. They do it with steel. And now they're threatening to do it with their electric vehicles. And, of course, Elon Musk has warned about how they could crush the U.S. automobile industry if that were to happen. So, anyways, tariffs are back in the news. Now, here's the problem. Once you start on our side putting tariffs on their stuff, they retaliate on their side putting tariffs on our stuff. So usually it kind of escalates, you know, just like the conflict in the Middle East. Something happens and another one retaliates, and then they keep upping the game, and we continue to be in a very cold war versus China. Not a very cold war. It's a cold war taking place, and we have to worry a little bit about beginning this tariff retaliation escalation. But right now, you've got Biden threatening to triple. They call for tripling China tariffs. So that's a warning shot across the bow, and then the Biden administration will wait to see what China does. Will they stop dropping all this cheap product on the market, or will they tank the hint and back off a little bit? Or will they turn around and say, well, we're going to up the game. I'll see your raise of 3 points, and I'll raise you by 8. We're going to double the tariffs on Apple and Tesla and Caterpillar and everybody else. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now show. We have a little issue here with the internet down here where I am in Sarasota. Hopefully we'll hang in there and get through the show. If not, I'll call in by cell phone if I have to. So anyways, we've got kind of a nervous market here today once again. It has improved a little bit. I'm guessing that maybe some of these Fed guys have done a little bit of dovish talk here this morning. Okay, let's take a look at other news here in the market today. This one doesn't surprise me. The U.S. reimposes oil sanctions on Venezuela because Venezuela can't promise a fair election and the upcoming election. Can a tiger change its stripes? Can a leopard change its spots? I think those same sanctions should be on Iran's oil. I don't understand why we took the sanctions off of Iran's oil. But as far as I know, those sanctions have been lifted on Iran, which is pretty much their lifeline. Iron ore prices set to slump again as China's housing troubles mount. That's a big problem. You know, the housing market, they have kind of a 2008-2009 financial crisis like we had here in America. You had that big real estate company go down, recently, and that's really weighing on their economy. And in addition to that, the tariff war and the Cold War between us and China as it relates to trade has also heated up here. Huawei is launching a new line of high-end phones in China. Well, who does that impact? That impacts Apple in a big way because China was a big customer of Apple, and Apple has pulled back here to its 52-week low once again in the 168 area. And, I see single-digit growth in the forecast for Apple in the coming years. And a tough sled for Apple. They're not going to be able to increase their earnings very much. Their sales over the last four quarters, down 3%, down 1%, down 1%, up 2%. When your sales are flat, the only way you have to increase bottom line earnings are to lay people off, increase those sales, or to cut other areas of expense. It's not a good situation to have flat sales like that, and that's the reason we sold Apple. We sold Apple back in September of last year, and it just not a very good-looking chart at all. All right, let's take a look at Nike is close to linking a huge endorsement deal with Caitlin Clark. Well, she's one of the biggest stars to come out of women's college basketball in quite some time. And I saw the contract she signed with Indiana? I can't remember what team. Iowa? I think it's Iowa that she signed the – no, that's her college. But she signed a contract with the team not too far from there. And she's not going to be making what LeBron James is making. She's not going to be making what Kawhi Leonard is making. You know, there's a big difference. And I don't think it's a woman versus man thing. It's a money thing. I don't think the WNBA has near the money to spend. And these franchises, I don't know how profitable they are. But they don't have the TV contracts and everything else that the NBA has. And I saw a lot of complaints about that and the discrepancy about how much he's going to make. It's the marketplace that kind of determines that. But anyway, she's going to get a nice deal. And I would think Nike, to have a woman basketball star like that, it seems to me like that would be a pretty good way to get Nike shoes on more women's feet in the future. Duolingo is set to join the S&P Mid-Cap 400. Well, that's not bad, okay? That's not the S&P 500, but the Mid-Cap 400 is not anything to sneeze at. We own Duolingo in our emerging growth portfolio. That's our smallest and most aggressive portfolio. Duolingo is up 7.9% on that news. 7.9%. Well, the days of Tesla being the most heavily traded stock in the market, and probably the one that's in the news more than any, are coming to an end, and Tesla is now the number two highest traded stock. This is at Interactive Brokers. Guess who's number one? It shouldn't surprise you. The number one traded stock these days is NVIDIA. And without question, there's going to be more hoopla around NVIDIA's earnings report and more anticipation around NVIDIA's earnings report than in Tesla's earnings report. Tesla's report will come out on the 23rd. That's in 5 days. And NVIDIA's report, which will be the biggest report of this earnings season, comes out in 5 weeks from now. 5 weeks from now. NVIDIA is currently in a topping out. Now, it could break out to new highs from here, but it's consolidating after a long run that began in late December of last year. But you can go back to January of the even January of last year. It's been an uptrend. It flattened out in August, September, October, November. Then it blasted off when they started giving those high triple digit earnings and sales growth reports, which when you think about it, you put that up against Apple's flat reports, NVIDIA's astonishing reports. Their sales over the last three quarters at NVIDIA have been 101%, 206%, and 265%. Triple. That's triple, almost quadruple. This past quarter, you got $22 billion in sales versus $6 billion the previous year. That is phenomenal growth. So that's why, obviously, NVIDIA will be a highly anticipated and highly watched earnings report when it reports clearer in May, on May 22nd. The third most traded stock, AMD. Apple is number four. The triple Qs, that is triple the NASDAQ. That's some highfalutin, high-octane stuff there. That's rocket fuel right there. That's number five. One, two, three, four. SPY is number five. SOX L, that is long the semiconductor index. I want to say it's juiced three times. Let me just look at that. Yeah, three times. Oh, boy, that's high octane. Wow. I would think I'd be on the other side of that trade right now. The QQQs are number seven. SMCI, Supermicro, number eight. Coinbase, number nine. Amazon, number 10. Microsoft, Meta, Taiwan Semiconductor. Those are your top volume, by volume, traded stocks at Interactive Brokers, which, you know, I'm sure, I think there's a lot more traders at Interactive Brokers than, you know, at some of the bigger discount houses, even the Schwabs and the E-Trades of the world. Well, let's see. Tesla drops again after Deutsche Bank downgrades due to Model 2 delay. Tesla's an ugly chart. That's one of the worst-looking charts in the entire market. It's down another 2.5% again today. It's down to $482 billion. Poor Tesla. After being a trillion-dollar stock at one point in time, and, of course, Elon is no longer at the top. I believe that it's Bezos again. Musk continues to drop. That stock hitting a new 52-week low to 151.49. Tesla at one point was $414 coming out of the COVID year, the year when everybody had a lot of money, and then he bought Twitter, and the sentiment against Musk started to turn. And now you've had the sentiment on electric vehicles turn really south, in my opinion, just watching these EV stocks. Bitcoin briefly slides below 60 grand for the first time since early March. It's back above it right now, but not looking too good. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has firmed up and gone up some. I'm guessing that the Fed governors, the two speakers this morning, were more optimistic than what Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, said yesterday about no rate cuts until March of next year. The NASDAQ is now up 70. The Dow is up 270. But, you know, as I look at the individual stocks in here, the one I want to point out first, Taiwan Semiconductor is definitely the big stock that has reported this morning. And even though Taiwan had pretty robust, a pretty good earnings report, the stock is down 3.4%. And, you know, I have seen their sales kind of level off here, but they said their hot spot, and that's what's keeping them really cranking, is the AI chips for NVIDIA. So that's good news for NVIDIA. But Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, is down 3.4% after their report on pretty big volume here today. It just seems like, you know, the shine is coming off the semiconductor sector right now after it's led the market. It can't lead the market forever. Eventually it's got to rest, eventually it's got to correct. Eventually it's got to hand off the baton to some other sectors for a while, and that seems to be the case with the chip sector right now. And then looking at the Dow, there's some really bad charts there in the Dow. I'll tell you what they are. Intel continues to be a horrible, horrible chart. Man, I'll tell you what, the shine just came off of Intel. All of that optimism last year about their efforts in Foundry, in AI, etc. Intel's just really not a very good-looking chart. It's gone from 51 to 35. That's a 30% drop in Intel. That's about the same. AMD has gone down 25, 27% from its high. You know, and Salesforce is not a good chart at all. It's in the Dow. That thing really, they didn't like the news. That thing really topped out and rolling over. That's a very weak chart on Salesforce. Microsoft's chart does not look that good, but I wouldn't expect much. When it corrects, it's pretty shallow correction that, you know, you're better off just riding through because they're such a major player in AI and still a company that size, $3 trillion, still growing by 15 to 19% per year, somewhere in that range. And then there's some other really bad-looking charts. I don't think Pfizer's a horrible chart. Pfizer's gotten to the point where maybe it should be replaced. I don't know. It's hitting a new 52-week. Boy, that's like a 10-year low on Pfizer. And these are all Dow stocks. Now, on the upside in the Dow today, let's see what is doing well, because the Dow is up 270 points right now. Let's see. On the upside, it's mostly United Healthcare. And, you know, that's good to see United Healthcare bouncing back. They really got stung big time with that data hack that they had. It really rippled through the healthcare industry, and also the reimbursement rate that the U.S. government, the Biden administration, announced this year was much less than they expected. J.P. Morgan is the other winner in the Dow right now. It's barely up, though. It's up 1.7%. Boeing is trying to put in a bottom. It's like 4 days. It takes longer than that to put in the bottom. It's had a lot of attempts at putting in a bottom and hasn't been able to find one yet. It's clear down to 172 right now. It's lost 100 points. 100 points since December, so really since the beginning of the year, and it continues to weigh heavily. And now you've got the oil stocks in the Dow starting to, we'll see, but they have pulled back quite a bit. And I'll give you one other chart that I just think is terrible, and I know why, and I predicted this was going to happen. When you have a growth company, they didn't go to a nonprofit. They still make a profit, but they went to a non-growth company, and they even forecast no growth going forward for unless they can do something to turn the ship around. Is Home Depot. That is just not a very healthy chart at all on Home Depot. Now you could say if you're a contrarian, well, I'm all over it here. It pulled back 60 points here. That's a 15% correction in the last 4 weeks in Home Depot. Well, what's the future look like? What's the five-year target price look like? Do you have 80, 90%, 70% upside potential over the next 5 years? Do you have superior upside potential to the S&P 500 over the next 5 years? And for me, the answer to that question is absolutely not. So, Home Depot's better days obviously are well in the rearview mirror. I show 58% upside potential, even with this pullback. So imagine what it looked like when it was trading at 400. I had about 40% upside potential. So it would have to go down quite a bit more. Even though it's a member of the Dow, even though it's one that all the big firms love to own, I just don't see the prospects, even from a value point of view here, with this with Home Depot. Okay, now let's turn to the S&P 500 real fast, or better yet, let's look at the S&P 500, see what is moving there. I'm guessing that there was a couple of more dovish speeches this morning on those all important rate cuts that everybody is chomping at the bit for. Genuine Parts is your leader on the S&P 500. That's not saying much. It's up 11.9%. Alaska Air up 5%. UAL up 4.6%. You see what I mean? I mean, it's not like the leading stocks anymore leading the market. You've got some like value stocks that are up today in the S&P 500, which isn't good. Okay, and on the downside in the S&P 500, Las Vegas Sands down 6.5%. That is an indicator on China. HCA Healthcare down 5%. Equifax down 4% and breaking down. And Tesla down 2.3% and continuing their breakdown. Okay, well, I'm here today. I think if you call, maybe we could get you in before I go home tomorrow morning, 855-611-BEST. Talk to Edie to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, and to talk to us virtually or over the phone, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.